That's good news. Here's another piece of good news. God commended his love to you and I. Commended means he introduced the depth of his love to you and I. How? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. It means that it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you came from. When you come to Jesus Christ and give him your life, he does the same thing to you that he's done to me and to millions throughout history. He brings you into everlasting life and makes you an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He secures the promise of eternal life for you. And not to be forgotten, he removes the prospect of eternal damnation in the lake of fire. He removes that from your future. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. So when you hear the gospel or you read the gospel, you have to contain it into what is the good news that we have. Number one, God loves us. Not because of who you are, or because of what you did or how you perform. He loves you because of who he is. And he wants you to come closer to him. Wherever you're at today, he simply wants you to take a step closer to him. Now you wonder, how did man get in the situation that we would need the Son of God to die on a cross so that we could have benefit? How did we get in that situation? How is it that we're just not good enough right out of the womb when we were born? Why are we not just good enough? And the answer is back at the beginning of the history of mankind, when God created Adam, and even before he created Eve, he told Adam that you can eat of all the trees of the garden, tear it up. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, because in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, Adam lived to be 965 years old after he ate the fruit. But on the very day that he ate it, spiritually, he died on the inside. His relationship to God was severed, and in that place of that relationship is what we call the sin nature. How many of you ever just heard that, sin nature? It's what makes you cut up when you didn't want to cut up. It's what makes you be bad when you wanted to be good. When you said, I won't do that again, and you do it again, that's the sin nature exercising dominion over you. And every single person on the planet, all of humanity, all of us are children of Adam. And when you were born, that was already in you. Can you just admit it? Have you ever just cut up and you really didn't want to cut up? Come on, you got to be honest this morning. Come on, you just showed out. You was trying to hold it and you just showed out. That lets you know there's something on the inside compelling you against your own personal will. It's the sin nature. And when you look over the entire family of man, we can never put one of us on a pedestal. Oh, well, you're pastor of Christ Unveiled. Surely you're not impacted. I wish that were so, but it's not. I'm impacted. You go back through the greats of the Old Testament, they were all impacted. Moses, one of the bright lights of the Old Testament, God told him to speak to the rock, and God was going to make water come out of it. The sin nature provoked him, and he told the people, me and Aaron's getting ready to make water come out of this rock. Stole God's glory. And God said, speak to the rock. He took a staff, and he smote it twice. See, all of us try to go our own way. God's got a way for your life. Your life's already been picked out and chosen, and you're going to be happier when you comply with it, but all of us, we're hard-headed. Come on, y'all got to be real this morning. Come on, we can be stubborn, and we can be obstinate, and we can be hard-headed, and we try to do it our way until we remove every possibility that our way will work. And then we say, okay, we'll do it God's way. Look at David. David is a prime example. King David, king of Israel. He was anointed from the time that he was a little boy. He was a musician. He played a harp and he would just worship and sing songs to God as he watched over the sheep. And God sent the prophet to him several times in his lifetime to anoint him, you're going to be king. From a small boy, he was anointed to be king. And he became king. He became one of the most powerful kings. He caused Israel's boundaries to grow larger and larger. The largest that they've ever been has been under King David. And one day, King David was on his rooftop. And the tempter, who is the devil, the same one that comes to you, the same one came to David. He looked over the wall and he saw a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba. She was taking a shower in the privacy of her rooftop, which is how they did it in those days. And a godly man would have said, oh my God, I shouldn't be looking at that. I need to go this way. But the Bible says she wasn't just beautiful, she was very beautiful. And I can just imagine the devil in David's ear. David, you know you want her. Brother, you the king. You the king. Why don't you just go get her? You know the king can have anything you want. Go get her. And David began to talk to some of his men about bringing Bathsheba to the palace. And they said, David, be careful, brother. That's Uriah's wife. Uriah was one of David's mighty men of war who at that time was putting his life on the line fighting for David's kingdom. And the devil again and David's here, it don't matter, just get her, get her. You ever had the devil nudge you? Do it, just do it. David called Bathsheba. The Bible says he laid with her and, he got her pregnant. What are we going to do, God? Now everybody's going to know that David gave in to temptation and this horrible affair has occurred. And once again, Satan right in David's ear, why don't you just kill Uriah? Why don't you just kill him? Nobody would ever know. And just like you and me, David gave in to it. He had Uriah killed. And he washed his hands from up to some 18 or more months. It was a done deal. My point today is that even the mighty men of old fell to temptation because of the indwelling sin nature. David had a son. His name is Solomon. It means beloved of the Lord. That's what his name means. He's beloved of the Lord. Solomon, when you read the Proverbs over and over, he states it over and over. Beware the lips of a beautiful woman. He must have learned it from David because he sure had a down pat. He over and over is in the Proverbs. But then at the end of the Proverbs, it said, but Solomon loved many strange women. He ended up with 700 wives and 300 concubines. 700 wives. That's madness. And on top of that, 300 side chicks on top of that. That's madness. What does that to a man? What causes people to react like that? It's the indwelling sin nature that pushes us, that tempts us, that moves us in a direction that we know is not correct. That is the condemning factor of the human race. All of us have been impacted. All of us have a story to tell. Most of us will never tell it. I ain't telling mine. Of how we've been impacted at different times. But 2,000 years ago, there was a man born in a manger in Bethlehem. He's one of us. He's a human being. He's one of us. He grew up to be some 30 years old, and he was out in the wilderness. And the same devil that tempted David and that tempted Solomon, that tempted Moses and all of the prophets, came to this man, Jesus Christ, and said, if you will fall down and worship me, all the glories of this world will I give you. I'll give it all to you. The same thing that he said to Beyonce. The same thing he said to the megastars that we have now. They have the whole world at their disposal. But who do they worship? He said, if you would just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of it. And this man, unlike any man ever before, looked Satan right in the eye and said, "Get thee hence." In our vocabulary now, it means get out of my face. It is written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shall thou serve." And I can imagine Satan taking three steps backwards, because this had never happened to him. He had never been in a position that one of us told him, "Get out of my face, Satan. I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to live for you. I'm going to live for God Almighty." It had to be alarming to him. And from that point forward, this man, Jesus Christ, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, he began a 3.5-year public ministry that we actually set our calendars based on his ministry. There's AD, which means before the cross, and there's BC. There's BC, which is before the cross, and there's AD, which is after the cross. For 3.5 years, he went about doing good. I don't mean like you and I do good. I mean with the power of God flowing through him. He went about doing good, delivering all those that was oppressed by the devil. Now, why did he do that? Because he is the express image of God. You and I could never know what God's heart was towards us had Jesus not come. And the whole time he was here, he just did good. He just did good. He delivered people that was possessed by the devil, or that had any maladies. Well, they could be lame, they could be maimed, halt, withered, worn, broken, bruised. It didn't matter. If you had an issue, Jesus will fix it. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If you've got an issue today, you can bring it to Jesus Christ. He'll touch your life. He'll change that thing, and he'll make you 100% whole. Now, I realize that you say, well, you're the preacher and you don't go through everything else. Listen, I've probably been through deeper water than most of us in this room. 7-year crack cocaine addict. Here I am. The power of God set me free. Hallelujah. No, but that's not it. He didn't just set me free, then he set me here. He didn't just set me free. He said, "Go preach my gospel into all the world." Hallelujah. Amen. The same yesterday, today, and forever. One time, Jesus in his public ministry, he's just walking along. It's not coordinated. It just happened to happen that there's a funeral procession coming across his path. And it was a woman who was burying her only son. Now, not only did she lose her baby, but she had no husband. That means this boy is her only means of support. He took care of her, and he's died now. So after she buries him, she can just go live her life in poverty. And Jesus saw, he didn't know the woman. Nobody knew the woman. He just saw the funeral going by. And the Bible said he just touched the coffin, and everything stopped. Everybody got the same, stop right there. And without asking a question of anybody what their will was or anything, he said, "Young man, sit up," to the dead boy. And the Bible said the dead boy sat up. And he delivered he that was dead, he delivered him to his mother. That's God's heart towards you and me. Not only is that his heart towards you and me, that's a display of the power that comes in the Godhead. The absolute power. That sometimes the smallest things, God will allow his power to flow. So that you know, that you and I know, God cares about me. One of his disciples by the name of Peter. Peter had a mother-in-law. He obviously had a wife. The Bible says his mother-in-law, she just had a fever. Seems like just a fever. Be a couple days, you'll be fine. No need on breaking out the power of God for that. It's just a fever. But Jesus said he went into the room where that woman was at and stood over her. And he didn't rebuke her. He rebuked the fever. Just like that, the fever left. And let me just add this. God God is not rebuking you, no matter how you, where you're at in your walk, how you live. God, his heart is not to rebuke you. He's to rebuke the sin that's in our lives. God so loved the world. He so loves you. He's trying to straighten you out the way he straightened me out, the way that he straightened millions of people out. How many can admit it? Sometimes I can just be nasty. Just nasty attitude. He can straighten that out, believe it or not. If his power flowed to help this woman with the fever, don't you know a deeply embedded personality flaw? He'll help you with that too. When the city heard that Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law, the Bible says the whole city came to Jesus. They brought their sick, they brought their demon-possessed, they brought their troubled people. And this is exactly what the Bible says. I believe it's in Luke. Jesus laid hands on every one of them. He must have been up until the night. He laid hands on every one of them and healed them. That means that as many as came to Jesus, that's how many got healed. As many as stayed at the house and said, I just don't believe that nonsense. That one didn't get healed. See, this has always been the way that God has worked. Here's a quick story I want to tell you from the Old Testament. There was a time Israel, 3.5 million people were out in the wilderness and they had angered God. And God angered, his anger caused him to let fiery serpents come into the camp. They were called fiery serpents because if you got bit by one of these snakes, you'd get a fever. And wherever they bit you, probably it would swell up. But it was so severe that you would die from that snake bite. And people were dying all over the place. And Moses ran to God and said, the people said, take away the fiery serpents. Take them away, it's too much. And in essence, God said, no. But I tell you what I'll do. See, sometimes you and I say, take away the devil. Just take him away. God said, no. But I tell you what I do. Make a brazen serpent and hang it up on a pole. That brazen serpent is a type of Christ hanging up on the cross. And whosoever simply will look up in faith at that serpent, even though they got bit, they will be every bit whole. And it came to pass that when somebody got bit, they'd look up at that pole, at that brazen serpent up there, and the snake bite would have no impact, no effect on them. But I'm sure there's many people be sitting in their tent, and they be saying, man, I got bit right here on my leg. Look at it. You guys come look at it. It's bad, brother, it's bad. Man, it hurts. Oh, woe is me. Woe is me. Man, I've been victimized. I got a snake bite. Wouldn't take the time to go look at the pole. I don't believe that. Look, I'm not looking at the pole. I'm looking at my leg swollen up. God would sit in his throne in heaven, watch them burn with a fever, and watch them die, and made no other moves. Because God has given one way for you and I to deal with this internal problem that we have. God has given us one way. It's Jesus Christ. Is all the fullness, again, of the Godhead dwells in him. He's able to meet every need that you and I have. Everything, you know, the weirdness. I'm just going to be weird. We can be weird, can't we? In your private mind, weirdness, perverseness goes on in there. But he can quiet that storm. And he can make you every whit whole. Remember Legion? There was a demoniac, Legion. He had 2,000 devils in him. This man, his mind was such a storm, he lived in the graveyard and ran around naked all day long. And as if that wasn't bad enough, he cut himself with rocks. One touch from Jesus. The Bible said he sat there clothed and in his right mind, absolutely made whole by the power of God. And so for 3.5 years, we find that Jesus walked around for 3.5 years and he absolutely tore the devil's playhouse down so that everyone would know that greater is he than he that's in the world. That Jesus has far more power than Satan ever has. But But to leave this planet, he came to this planet just like you and I through birth. And because he really doesn't break the rules, he had to leave the same way you and I leave through death. Only his death was a sacrifice so that I could be delivered and you could be delivered. And countless millions through time could be delivered. He died as a sacrifice for us. In other words, I deserve the punishment. I deserved eternal hell. But he stepped up and said, I'll take it for Brother Lincoln. Hold it. Not because I'm Brother Lincoln. He'll take it for anybody that will express faith in him. And so he left this planet hanging on a cross, beaten, bruised, a crown of thorns on his head, nails through his ankles and through his wrist. He hung there between heaven and hell. He did it for you and me. For you and me. And just before he left this planet, the Bible says he looked up and he said, Father, it is finished. What does that mean? It means I have stomped this devil. I have defeated this demon. Praise God, I have put Lucifer up under my feet. The Bible said he spoiled principalities and powers, putting them to an open shame, triumphing over them. Here's what the triumph is. It was a procession the Roman soldiers would do when the Roman general went out and won a war and brought back prisoners. They would have a big parade, and the front of the parade was the general in his chariot. And behind him, all of the prisoners that he took from the opposing army, all of them had a hook in their nose, and they're chained to the next prisoner. And that general, he rode through the streets in the parade, all his defeated foes behind him. That's the triumph. Jesus, the Bible said, he triumphed over Satan and all of the powers of hell. He did it for you and he did it for me. This is the Jesus that we serve. When you hear someone say the gospel, that's the gospel. Now, there's much more to it. There's much more to learn. You'll learn the rest of your lifetime. But in a nutshell, that's what he's saying, is that you and I are sinners. Jesus Christ is a Savior. He died for me. I believe that this morning. He died for me. And when I put my faith in him, lo and behold, everything started changing. All the dope smoking, just like turning off a light switch. All the womanizing, all of the weirdness that my mind was producing in my life, like turning off a light switch, it just turned off. And then another light switch turned on, and suddenly I'm awoke to the glory of God. Suddenly I see what I have never been able to see. Listen, if you're tired, as a matter of fact, what Jesus did, he did it for this reason, so that he could give you this invitation. All you that are burdened, heavy laden, Jesus will say, come unto me, unto him. It's not coming to a church, it's not coming to a preacher, it's coming to Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, I will give you rest. If you're beat down, I was beat down when I came to Jesus. Man, sin had wore me out. I was tired. He said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke, my control, the control that I render. Sit under my control. Learn of me. In other words, find out who he really is. Who, if I've explained him here this morning, has not even scratched the surface. He is the eternal one. Jesus is the one that spoke the word, didn't move his face, his hands, just spoke the word, and the universe stood fast. That's the kind of power we're talking about. When he hung on the cross for you and I, he was yet sustaining all things by the word of his power. The universe didn't fold while he died. He was still keeping the universe in play. That's the one this morning that's saying, if you're tired, come to me. I will give you rest. I will make it right. I can say this. My life has never been as good as it is right now. I've made a lot of money before I got saved. A lot of money. Money can't buy this. No, you can chase the bag if you want to. But when you actually grab a hold of the bag, you're going to realize, vanity, oh vanity, only Jesus Christ can satisfy you on the inside. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads all over the room this morning? Father, we just come to you today thanking you for the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, as people have heard this message this morning, I ask you that you would drive it deep into their hearts. If there's any that are going through troubled times, and any that have turmoil in their mind or in their life, oh God, let your healing virtue flow. And right now, all across this room, if you need Jesus Christ, there's something going on in your life and you need Christ to address it, I want you to just hold up your hand. I won't embarrass you, I promise. I won't embarrass you. God sees that hand. Come on, you just got things that are going on, Lord. I just need a touch from heaven. Everything is not well. Right now, we're going to pray for those who have lifted up their hands. Father, in Jesus' name, you see the hearts, you see the lifted hands. We'd ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would meet every need. Lord, as you did so long ago when you healed Peter's mother-in-law and the city saw and they lifted up their sick to you, God, and you healed every one of them today, Lord. Let your virtue flow in this place. Let your power impact every life and every heart. Heal the sick amongst us, the maimed, the broken. Bind up every broken heart. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you if you're able today, right where you're at, if you would just stand to your feet, right where you're at, if you're able. And why don't you just reach out? All of us have something in our life we have to have addressed. You don't have to tell anybody. You just reach out and ask God, Lord, touch me right now. Lord, you know my situation. God, you know whatever brokenness, whatever malady, whatever situation is going on in my life, I come to you now, Lord. I heard who your son Jesus Christ is, and I come with my heart uplifted. Come on, just reach out. And I ask you that you would move upon me in a real way and that you would help me in this area that I seem to be so weak, that I seem to have no power. Strengthen me, oh God, with might by your Spirit. In the hidden man of my heart, just reach out to the Lord. Just reach out.
Lord, we just thank you for loving us. Loving us enough, Father, to send your son to die for us, God. Because you knew before we were ever born, God, that we owe a debt that we cannot pay. And we thank you, Lord, for your love, for your forgiveness, for your grace, for your mercy that you show us each and every day, God. We are thankful and grateful for it. And we just bring everything that we are to you right now, God, and we lay it down and surrender it to you, Father. Praying and asking that through your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would mold us and shape us, Father, to become more like you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome again to everyone that's visiting today. It's so good to see all of you here. Thank you for joining us online as well. I hope that you were blessed today by the word of God. Amen. We just thank you. If you have not had an opportunity to give, please do so. There are several ways to give, and we definitely need your support to continue to carry out all the ministries here at Christ Unveiled. We love you, and we thank you for coming. Have a blessed, blessed week. Amen. You are dismissed.